Entering Kenmore, doors will open on the left.
How's it going, everyone? Welcome to episode 23 of Entering Kenmore. I am David Azer, alongside Zach Coe. Zach, another brutal week for Red Sox Nation. Seems like brutal week after brutal week at this point, and that's where we're at.
Yeah, this is what they deserve. They are getting, wholeheartedly, they are getting what they deserve. And I mean that to my very core. I hope they bottom out so unbelievably horrid. I have so much money invested into futures on this team, and I hope they bottom out and Craig Breslow looks like a fucking moron, because that is exactly what he is. He is a moron, and this offense has been just an absolute atrocity. I said it last week on the last episode. Did they even like look at their potential lineup if they traded Rafael Devers just once? The answer is no. The answer is very, very clearly no. Here's just a quick stat from Ian Brown for you. Since the trade of Rafael Devers, the Red Sox rank 30th in MLB in OPS and strikeout percentage. Is that good?
30th? No.
I just don't understand how this is the lineup they're trotting out there each and every night. It's so unbelievable. And the fact that Craig Breslow, it just keeps getting even more and more unbelievable that he said this, that at the end of the day, he thinks that there's a strong possibility they finish with more wins than we otherwise would have. Well, it's an easy thing to say, first of all, because there's no way of knowing how many wins that they would have finished with Rafael Devers. But he can't be serious with that.
No.
There's no fucking shot. Like, do you think he's just sitting there going, like, fuck? Like that's what I would do if I were him. Just every game that they don't score, I would just sit there and go, fuck. Every single one of them. I just don't. Since the trade, they're tied for last in MLB with a 63 WRC+. They're hitting under 200 in that stretch. 199 with a... Yeah, where's OPS? I guess I could just quit. Zach versus math. Here we go. 262 plus 349. That'd be 611. 611.
I think
611. Bang. Yeah. Put that one in the win column for Zach. Zach versus math. 611 OPS. The only team with a worse batting average than them is the Chicago White Sox. Obviously, Ian Brown pointed it out. They have the it's actually changed since after tonight's games. It's now their second. They're 29th in the league in strikeout percentage behind the Colorado Rockies. They're up to 27.9. The Red Sox are sitting at 26.8. I don't know. I'll read the full quote here right now, because just hearing it back, I heard it back tonight. And it's just, it really is. I think when you consider the flexibility, the ability to give some of the young players some run, the opportunity to maybe repackage some of the resources and fill some voids in the roster as early as approaching this year's deadline, and being really intentional about the environment that we create for these young players to thrive in, then I do think that there is a real chance that at the end of the season, when we're looking back, we'll have won more games than we otherwise would have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm buying it. Yeah, well, when you consider their ability to cycle through a bunch of shitters in the DH spot, that is a great point. I hadn't considered the fact that they'd be able to shuffle a bunch of dickheads through the DH spot. I guess he's right. I guess that's why he went to Yale and I went somewhere else, and he's so much better than me. And if you want to know that he's so much better than you, just listen to him talk, because he talks to you like politicians talk to you, where they think you're a fucking moron and like can't comprehend the big words that he's using. Like he literally treats Red Sox fans like politicians treat their constituents. And like I said, I'm rooting for Craig Breslow's downfall above all else from here until the day he's fired. I hate Craig Breslow.
I don't blame you. It's almost like you shouldn't have traded your best player when you had no backup plans.
Just a wild concept.
It's so infuriating watching this lineup every day and knowing how much better it could have been if Rafael Devers was still here. And maybe we're beating a dead horse at this point. Like, the Giants series sucked. Rafael Devers didn't kill you throughout that entire series. Obviously,
he
won them a game. He hit the big home run in game two. Brian Bayo, that was probably the most obvious thing that was ever going to happen.
I'm such an asshole. I said it on the podcast that he was taking Bayo deep, and then I forgot to bet on it.
Oh, man, that is brutal. But here's the thing I've noticed is
the team sucks.
It's cool. Well, the team sucks, but the lineup sucks too. I don't know if you know, but the unfortunate thing is you were enjoying the Abraham Toro, Romy Gonzalez, Lynn Sanity runs, and that was cool when they weren't a key contributor in your lineup.
They weren't hitting cleanup.
Now you have to rely on those guys. Now those guys are your 2 and 3 hitters every fucking night. And watching them fail is like, yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised, but now you have nothing. Like, this was, oh, we're moving Rafael Devers, but don't worry because Abraham Toro's tearing the cover off the ball. Well, that shit the bed very fast. And
it's
since
unfathomably
then,
stupid.
It's so, so beyond stupid. And the lefty lineups continue to piss me off. Marcelo Meyer got a little bit more run against lefties in this Angels series, and he proved why he should be in the lineup every single day. If that's my main thing now, is it, this is a development year at this point. We're under 500. We're halfway through the season. There's no end in sight anymore.
The Los Angeles Angels fucking own you.
Yeah. You went, what, 1-5 against them this season?
Yeah.
So that's awesome. It's we're thriving. And it's
fuck
just
1-5 against the Los Angeles Angels.
Yeah, I said this with Dan Ball over the weekend, but we preach development with these guys and we're not going to let them be everyday players.
Oh, they're not going to be the saviors.
Matchups. Yeah, well, they're the saviors now. They're all we fucking have at this point, unless you want to count Romy Gonzalez, who I'm tired of him.
That's what Will says. Will, every single time Romy does something, Romy, David Azar's homie. That's what you should start doing, just to taunt you for how wrong you've been on Romy.
I don't care. He's still the figurehead of all my rage towards this team because he's not an everyday player. I don't care how you want to spin it. Maybe he's a lefty specialist like Rob Refsnyder, and that's fine. But I don't need to see him against a righty. I don't need him batting third in this lineup every single night because you traded your best player and you have no backup plan. That's what I'm watching every single night. And we're going to follow this team whether they're good or not because this is our job. This is what we commit most of our free time to. I've kind of been in a Red Sox vacuum for the last week and a half, especially since Devers got traded, and it's only let me down since
I'm so happy Katie's back. Obviously, obviously she's been gone. She's been in Ohio for however long. And usually I think I said this to you, like 99.9% of what I consume media wise is either sports or reality television.
Yeah.
Well, without her being here, it was 100% sports. So like all I was doing was consuming Rafael Devers trade conversations. Like even like some of the fantasy baseball podcasts I listened to, like their episodes this week or last week were Rafael Devers just got traded centric, like mm-hmm. whether it be dynasty wise or any. So I have like, not only have I been living in a in a Red Sox vacuum for the last week, I've been living in a Rafael Devers trade vacuum for the last week, and now Katie's back and we started watching Love Island and I finally have something to make me not think about this godforsaken baseball team that traded one of my 3 favorite Red Sox of all time and made themselves a whole lot worse while telling you that they actually think they're going to be better without him, which is like among the dumber statements. Like I said, like for you to look me right in the face and say that guy that's hitting 280 has 40 home run power, is on pace to finish top 5 in MVP voting, we'll say, with a 150 OPS plus. That guy, he actually, getting rid of him for nothing that's going to contribute at least for the next probably month is actually going to make our team better. And when you say, okay, well, who's filling that void on offense? They tell you Rob Refsnyder, Abraham Toro, and Romy Gonzalez, and David Hamilton. That's not a serious organization. So no. to now have Love Island, where just to like to relax and like watch these fucking morons converse, like just one example on a tangent. I know we're trying to do a clean 40 here, but just quick tangents. Like to be able to watch someone on national television get asked what their passions are, and then pretty much just describe what a passion is. That is so incredible to take away from this dog shit baseball team.
Sounds like a Craig Breslow team. Or yeah, a Craig Breslow answer.
Yeah. What is your passion? And this girl's response were like, well, like my passions are like doing things that like make me happy and bring me joy and like just doing what I love.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. That's what a passion is. We know what the word means. We're looking for some of yours, for example. It just to have that like, and I know I sent you the picture. Love Island took the top TV over the Red Sox series. So just like watching that, like we were watching Love Island when Christian Moore hit that tying home run, and I just laughed. Like that's where I'm at with this team. I laughed when they gave up a game tying home run.
Yeah, would you believe if I told you we still had 80 games to go of this shitstorm? Man, it is just mind-boggling. I did not expect to be this checked out on the 2025 Boston Red Sox at the end of June. I thought it would take a lot longer. And at this point, I'm ready to kind of pack it in. And I've tried to remain optimistic throughout everything. You trade your best player, you're an unserious organization. You can keep telling me you're committed to winning, and then you turn around and trade your best player with no backup plan, and I'm forced to watch this shit bum team every single day. I want to slam
my head. The offense is so bad.
It's so bad.
Like, I just don't know what they thought they were doing.
Like, what do you expect? What did you expect? Did you expect all of these veteran journeymen to carry the weight offensively for an entire half of a season? Like, you can't look at me with a straight face and act like pretend trading your best player makes you better off in this season and beyond, ever.
Not only does it make you a good team still moving forward, you're going to be better than you were before. You're going to you're going to win more games. Here's a statement that I can't at all make sense of because there's no way of proving it. And here it is. Like that's pretty much what he said. Like he looked you with a straight face, dead in the eyes, and said trading our best player was the right move because we have four quad A players on our bench and we're going to recreate him in the aggregate.
Baby. Billy Bean.
Like when we're at game 80 or whatever last night was, and I'm reaching the point where it's like, all right, like you knew they were blowing that game. You give Garrett Crochet, you give him one run of run support, and then they pull him in the seventh, and Weissert, who has been shaky in his last couple outings, comes in. Like you just knew that game was going to be blown, and you just knew it was credit to them. They proved me wrong. I said it was a 2-1 extra inning loss. It was not. It was a 3-2 extra inning loss. And it's like I said, like when we're at the point where it's June and you give up a game tying home run and I'm just sitting there laughing and then going back to paying attention to Love Island, like that's how you know you've done something bad. Because I would, like, ordinarily I'd sit through a 1-0 stinker that they lose and I would still laugh when that happens, but I would be pissed afterwards. I just laughed. That's all that I did. I just sat there and laughed and said, yep, that's of course, obviously that happens because this season is cursed and Craig Breslow has cursed it.
It has to be cursed. This was the season where you were going to get yourselves back into contention and you just ruined your entire timeline. You lit your timeline on fire by trading Rafael Devers. We're probably not going to contend next year. Nothing about this makes me confident that they're going to reallocate Rafael Devers' contract money this offseason. None of that.
Who are they going to give it to?
Exactly. Like, There's no big hitter in this free agency class. You can maybe bring in another starting pitcher. You probably need at least two at this point because this rotation has fallen back down to earth in a huge way. Both of us saw that coming, but I'm ready to say that Andrew Bailey's pitching lab is on fire. I think it's Chernobyl at this point. It's gone. Well,
at least they took two projects back for their best player.
Thank goodness. Prospects. I'd love projects, to see Andrew Bailey turn them into, because he's done so well with Walker Buehler and Richard Fitz and everybody else. I mean, Lucas Giolito's look good. I'll give him that. Garrett Crochet, I think, is an outlier. He was good before he was here. I think he's doing this in spite of the Andrew Bailey pitching lab. And the whole bullpen, I mean, you're just running them into the ground. You had quality innings from Greg Weissert through basically the first half of the season. And now he's getting overworked, and you're seeing that result pretty quickly. You have what you thought was a high leverage arm already cooked in June. So I don't know. You're bringing in reinforcements. You're bringing in more Jorge Alcalas. I would love to see that, but I don't see many more reinforcements coming in, especially this is the worst time to be skidding because you're a month away from the trade deadline. I don't see that getting any better. So you're probably trending towards selling there.
Well, and again, then, who do you bring in at the deadline?
Mm-hmm. Like you have to go for controllable talent at this point. And it's a question of whether or not teams want to give that up at the deadline. So we could be going into this offseason being like, wow, they didn't trade Aroldis Chapman. They didn't clear out their outfield logjam. So what are we going to do? Like, there is so much that could happen, and none of it's good.
If they do what they've done for the last 3 years, 4 years, I guess I won't count 21 at the deadline. So since 22, if they do what they've done the last 2 years at the trade deadline, which is just stand pat. I know last year they bought. But yeah. I don't count Lucas
Danny Sims. Jansen,
yeah, Danny J. Right-handed bat. Big right-handed bat acquisition for the playoff push of backup catcher. Mm-hmm. Guy who couldn't even beat out Connor Wong. but if they just stand pat and don't trade Buehler, don't trade Giolito, don't trade Duran, or one of the two outfielders. For me, I'm done with Jaron Duran. He fucking sucks. He's completely useless. But anyway, or Giolito, or dude, if the Bregman extension isn't done, I think you have to trade him too. Like I know we got that report from Boris with him being in the house that Bregman's open to an extension, but like one, he's the captain now of this extension talks. You traded away Rafael Devers because of something that was set in motion due to his signing. He knows you have no choice but to extend him. You didn't want to go 6 years before. Well, buddy, guess what? You have to go 6 years now. You might have to go 7 years now. Oh, you didn't want to pay him $30+ million until he was in his 40s. Well, you traded Rafael Devers and traded away all your leverage because you signed Bregman. And that's not to say that they shouldn't have signed Bregman. They should have signed Bregman, and they should have been up front with Devers that they were going after a third baseman. They shouldn't have spent the entire offseason telling you that. Jesus.
Oh, I almost died. Rallying here.
Yeah. Jesus, I don't know what I choked on. But they didn't have to spend the entire offseason telling you that Alex Bregman was the greatest second baseman who ever walked the face of the earth. And it's a disgrace to the baseball gods that he's never played there before. They didn't have to spend the entire offseason doing that. They did. These are choices that they made. In that Passan article, I don't think we've recorded since that came out. No. In that article, he talked about how Craig Breslow's computer model told him that their best lineup had Devers at DH and Christian Campbell at second base. It didn't matter what Christian Campbell did because I pulled the numbers for something that I didn't end up using tonight. But let me grab them here real quick. Christian Campbell in the spring, we all remember, was terrible. He was dog shit in the spring, but it didn't matter, and it felt for a while. He hit 167 with a 576 OPS in spring training. It didn't matter that Campbell looked completely overmatched in spring training. The computer said he was their best lineup, had him at second base on opening day. That didn't just magically sneak up on them on the first day of spring training. or the day that they signed Alex Bregman, their model, if they just play in, oh, they didn't have Alex Bregman in December. Yeah, the fun thing about models is that you can manipulate them however you want. So they could just plug Alex Bregman into the lineup and see what the model gives you. And it would have given you the same thing that it wound up giving you 2 months later when you signed him, which was Alex Bregman at third base, Christian Campbell at second base, Rafael Devers DH. That didn't sneak up on them. They mishandled it from the jump. And I know in the last episode, I think I said I was 70-30 blaming the organization and Devers. I'm back to like 85-15 after piecing that together in my head. Because that model didn't just magically say, oh, well, it looks like Devers has to be. It told Craig Breslow to completely mishandle the entire situation to the point that they had to trade their best player and then give themselves one of the worst offenses in the sport.
Hey, if AI is that advanced, we should just have them run the show instead of him.
Dude, they pretty much are. I played a cut the other day on Arcan's show from the Breslow Kennedy press conference, and we've been using Breslow Bot, obviously, which is just an AI voice on the web browser. The fact that the Red Sox two GMs in a row got a guy that sounds precisely like an AI generated robot that you can just Google like robot voice and come up with is so funny, because I almost couldn't tell the difference between Breslow and Breslow Bot.
Like it's astounding how much he just pussyfoots around answering a question. Like there's just no other way to put it. He's given you nothing all throughout this season, but especially he's given you nothing when he's getting grilled about why he traded his best player. Like we need answers here. We need results. Neither of them are coming soon.
I don't even care if anybody won't take the job. Like they could give me the job. They could give Coley the job. Give Coley the job. I actually find myself agreeing with Coley a whole lot. Give Coley the job and get Craig Breslow the fuck out of here, because I, for one, will not be satisfied until he's gone. Doesn't matter what he does, because he's completely botched this season. They come in and they say our window is firmly open. We just gave Alex Bregman, however, $40 million with an opt-out because we're going for it right now. What's that? We need a starting pitcher. How about Garrett motherfucking Crochet right on your fucking forehead? Here we go. The Boston Red Sox are here. We're coming. We're going for it. And 70 games into the season, you decide to pull the plug on it because your best player is being a big meanie.
He hurt his feelings. I mean, robots.
That's literally what it is. So. Yeah, that's proof that robots have emotions, because Craig Breslow got his feelings hurt by Rafael Devers and he traded him for nothing. And in turn, they got like a little bit of a bump against a Mariners team that is not very good. And then immediately went to San Francisco. They played well in the first game and then completely shit all over themselves the rest of the road trip, pretty much.
It was inevitable. It was inevitable. The lineup was playing up. Even before Devers was gone, I think the lineup was playing up. But he gave you a consistent
back. There's a guy that circled for the opposing pitching staff. There's a guy where it's like, all right, here's the guy. Who's the guy that gets circled in the Red Sox lineup right now? Like Dave O'Brien kept saying today that there are a lot of outs to be had in this Angels lineup. There are 9 outs to be had in the Red Sox lineup.
I mean, hey, Connor Wong, first RBI, though.
That's true. Shout out.
Dancing around that.
That's true. That's true. How could we gloss over that?
I know. Like,
Carlos Narvaez is your cleanup hitter. Rob Ref Snyder leading off. Jaron Duran, who I could have a better chance hitting a lefty than he could. Mm-hmm. I'd be better in left field defensively than he would.
Yeah.
He's just been completely, he's all the way down to 254 on the year with a 711 OPS. So we're literally, geez, imagine if he had a 711 OPS plus. That'd be big time.
yeah, that would be sweet.
He's putting together the greatest offensive season we've ever seen, and it's not close.
That's the only thing that would save the Boston Red Sox at this point.
Dude, and it's pretty much like, hey, Roman Anthony, do that. Like, have the greatest offensive season for a rookie we've ever seen in our entire lives. Mm. And before, when it was coming into the year, it was, these guys aren't the saviors. We can't look at them to be the saviors. And now it's that. And Roman Anthony might be the unluckiest hitter in the history of baseball. He hits the ball so fucking hard and just has like pretty much nothing to show for it, which is so brutal.
It is. And to be in the heart of your lineup every single day as a rookie who's played, what, like 20 games at this point, is it's pretty impressive how composed he is. And
dude, not even just the heart of the lineup. Like, he's like pretty much taken over Devers two hole.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're supposed to typically been batting three, but yeah, I mean, he's the guy you circle now.
Yeah, and like you're supposed to have your best pure hitter in the two hole, and the Red Sox are trotting out Roman Anthony, who like I do think that's eventually his spot, if not the leadoff spot. But like Roman Anthony or Abraham Toro or Romy, like just quickly looking at these last couple days, like today it was Duran, who again has been awful. Yesterday it was Roman Anthony. On Monday it was. Why can't I find Monday? On Monday, it was Abraham Toro. Like, like your best pure hitter is in the two hole, and you're like, all right, Abe Toro, go out there. Which, like, again, Abe Toro has been good. I think the Linsanity run's kind of coming to an end a little bit here. He's kind of tailing off here recently. Yeah. But, like, I don't know. And it's tough because I was really hoping that once we moved past the series against the Giants, that it would be like the end of the Rafael Devers saga, but we're not there because it's just like a dark cloud, and it's going to be the case for the rest of the season and probably through the entire offseason and into next season, because there's a dark cloud hanging over this team in the fact that the offense sucks. Like, the offense is bad. That, like you said, they were already playing pretty above their heads. Like, everyone was still saying they needed a big bopper, like right-handed first baseman. Like you needed Josh Naylor before you traded Rafael Devers.
Yeah,
and now you still need him, and you also need Rafael Devers back.
Yeah, there's no move in sight that fixes this problem.
No, we talked about it with John. Unless you're getting Tatis or Acuna, there isn't a move that you're making that makes you a better team than you were with Rafael Devers.
Not at all. Not at all. And like, I'm not giving them the benefit of the doubt. I'm not giving this front office any more trust that they'll keep trying to build a contender anymore.
You don't trade the best player on the team and then be like, trust me, guys.
We're going to win way more games without him. Okay, well, yeah, you're on a five-game losing streak against a pretty mediocre swept against the fucking Los Angeles Angels. Like, that's
worth six on the road trip. 3-6. Yeah. Five-game winning streak heading into this nine-game road trip where you saw the Mariners, the Giants, and the Angels. And you go 3-6 after trading your best player. The results speak for themselves, and I don't want to hear the small sample size shit, because there's no way that you're watching this Red Sox offense this last week and a half. This Red Sox offense since the trade being like, they're going to be fine. Like, what single metric can you point to that says they're going to be fine besides Roman Anthony being like the unluckiest hitter in the history of the sport? Because like, I refuse to see the silver lining in anything. And don't tell me Alex Bregman's coming back, because you know what? Alex Bregman is not a better hitter than Rafael Devers. He might be a better all-around player than Rafael Devers. I'm willing to at least have that conversation, although I think I still side with Devers because his bat is that much better than Bregman's. But like, Alex Bregman's coming back. Great. You had Alex Bregman and Rafael Devers in your lineup before he went down, and you were still a largely mediocre team. So like, I just don't, Alex Bregman isn't going to come in and fix everything. Like, he's just not.
No, absolutely not. Because part of the appeal of bringing Bregman in was you had that protection in the lineup for Rafael Devers.
Yeah.
And now you have no one.
Now it's just attack, attack, attack. Cause these guys fucking stink.
1-9. There's really no one in this lineup now where I'm like, okay, well, we need a big hit. Let's turn to this guy. I think Roman Anthony will turn into that at some point once he stops being the most unlucky baseball player in history.
138 BABIP. He's rocking. Mm-hmm. 138 BABIP. And let's just quickly pull up his Savant page to see what the hard hit rate is. But I mean, I think Driveline is working in the minors, to be honest with you, because like Roman, Marcelo, like they're very good at executing the Driveline philosophy. It's everyone that's on the major league team that isn't very good at that. Yeah. Roman's hard hit rate is a little bit above league average, which actually surprises me a lot. Oh, but the average exit velo is 92nd or 92.1, puts him, I don't know. The fact that it doesn't give you the numbers when they don't qualify is kind of annoying.
I know.
But I mean, again, that's still pretty high up there in the rankings. So unluckiest baseball player on earth. I think he is going to be that guy eventually. But man, to go from, like we said, rookies are meant to help. They're not meant to be the saviors. To Roman, how about you be the savior?
How about you be the best hitter on the team and carry us through the playoffs this year? Like, it's not happening. It's not happening. And the most unfortunate thing is not only us as the homers had the Red Sox making deep playoff runs, but pretty much everyone nationally looked at this team on paper before the season started and was like, yeah, they're going to make noise in the playoffs. Now we're at the point I don't even think they're making the playoffs.
We got a better chance of fucking pigs flying than the Red Sox making the playoffs this year. They're in playoffs.
trying
to win a game.
At this point,
Angels. Tyler Anderson dicing them up. Yusei Kikuchi dicing them up. Who pitched for Landon Roop? Roop dicing you up. Jack Kochanowicz. I won't say he diced you up, but he had an all right start. Like, these are the guys we're talking about. It's so annoying that they decided to do that. Like, what a stupid, stupid, dumb, big, dumb idiot move that was. And not even get a bat back. Like, oh, they got James Tibbs. I don't care. I don't care about James Tibbs. Fuck James Tibbs. He sucked in my out of the park franchise. He's going to suck for the Red Sox. The only guy I'm even remotely interested to see from this return is Kyle Harrison. Like, Jordan Hicks sucks. He got blown up in his rehab appearance in Worcester. He blows. Like, oh my God, I feel like a broken record at this point, and I apologize for that. But, like,
no, you're good.
And I really want to move past this, like I said, but we're not going to be able to move past it until Roman becomes that guy.
Until I see the final product of this team holding up the World Series championship trophy, like, it's hard to move on from this. And I guess I'm still willing to hold out until the trade deadline, because I think there's moves to be made, whether or not that's significant moves that help you win now. You still have a bunch of positional depth that you need to clear out. And I'm open to new faces. I don't know how much they'll help you this year, but it's always fun to see what they can do. I just don't see Craig Breslow as capable enough to make anything of value.
So you're excited for them to sell, is what I'm hearing.
I'm excited for them to sell, to be honest, because there's no point in holding on to an Aroldis Chapman and all these other people. Like, Duran, people are super out on right now. I'm trending towards that. It's really hard for me to say that. I still, you know, respect all of the mental health stuff that he's advocated for, but past that, he's not good at baseball this year. A lot of his other views are not great. And it seems like the fan base and kind of the front office has turned their back on him and kind of given up on him, because he's dropping in the lineup pretty consistently now. Whether that's just against lefties, I think that's probably going to start against righties too, because he still can't hit those.
What is going on defensively with him? It is so weird. He went from being one of the best defensive center fielders in baseball last year to being, I think he's the sixth worst left fielder in baseball by outs above average right now. He looks lost out, like completely lost out there. There was, I think it was in yesterday's game, there was a ball that was like right along the line. Like, I think it ended up being just barely fair, but it was an adventure watching him trying to size that ball up. He looked like he had it sized up, and then he like shuffled to the right a little bit. And then he looked like he had it sized up, and he took like another step there. And then finally he like awkwardly caught it, like lunging to his left. It was bizarre. Today he had that play he had absolutely no shot on that he dove for some reason. And I've never been a Jarren Duran guy. Starting with his time in the minors, obviously, I think he posted some shitty things on Instagram. on top of the fact that he just came up and like acted like he didn't give a fuck and like he was too cool for school and gave up an inside the park grand slam because he stopped hustling. And I understand that hustling since then has been one of his hallmarks, but you hustling doesn't do anything for me if you're just striking out every at bat that you step up to the plate, or weakly fouling right. a ball off, or popping out, or like there is no element to that anymore. And not to, like I said this when we were texting, your abhorrent political views become much easier to ignore when you're going to finish top 10 in MVP voting. Like, now I think you're a shitty person. And I know someone else got heat on Twitter for that earlier in the week. Mm-hmm. Jaren Duran, I'm pretty comfortable saying, is a shitty person. Like, I'm fine saying that. Between what he's posted on his Instagram, between the tennis racket incident with the fan, between being unvaccinated and refusing to go to Toronto, like, oh, this guy's a leader. Well, fucking 3 years ago, he was saying that he wasn't going to get vaccinated and have to sit out series in pivotal divisional series if you were actually serious about contending at the time, which I can't say I remember the standings implications when that happened. But like, some team leader you are, like, I'm not going to go to Toronto because I won't get a vaccine because I think I'm smarter than people who are scientists.
Yeah, yeah. And it all begs the question, mostly the on-field play, but what does this do for his trade value? Like,
tanks.
Exactly. You're not getting a big haul for Jaren Duran anymore.
People keep talking about Micah Bell. Like, oh, you're going to get Micah Bell for Jaren Duran. Like, you got to get a better chance of getting me for Jaren Duran than Micah Bell.
Oh, yeah. I mean, hey, the David Azar Zach Coe package for Jaren Duran might feed families.
That's true. Maybe we'll be packaged with Jaren Duran to give him some value. Maybe it's us and Jaren Duran in exchange for Micah Bell.
I would gladly go to Philly for that.
Dude, we'd be able to talk about a fun baseball team.
Yeah.
Like, they got Bryce Harper. They got Schwarber. They got Nick Castellanos. Mm-hmm. Dude, imagine how fun it would be. Like, the next time there's a Israel-Iran flare-up. Like... just being able to talk Castellanos.
If there's a drive into left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
Dude, maybe that's what we can do when the Red Sox fall off. We don't have to change topics. I don't have to watch Breaking Bad. Like, we can become a Phillies podcast.
Hey, I'm all in on that. I've liked, there's a lot of likable players on that team. I'm a big Bryce Harper guy. I have been for a while. I know a lot of other people kind of think he's a baby, but I've always fucked with him.
I love Bryce Harper. Fuck
Kyle from Waltham's there. Yeah. I mean,
talk about a guy who I have started to hate because of their dog shit political opinions is Jonathan Papelbon. That guy never keeps his mouth shut. He and again, it's great when you're one of the best closers in baseball, and I'm 8 years old and don't even know what politics are. But now I follow you on Twitter and you're just, Kevin Youkilis is another one. Kevin Youk. Yep. I've seen enough Youk commentary on Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez to last my lifetime. Like, I never needed that, Youk.
Yeah.
And nobody ever needed that. We don't need your opinion on political things like that. Like, Youk has completely just gone off the rails in my book as well. Not to mention him being terrible in the Nesson booth.
I don't have much else to say on this team.
That's where we've gotten to. That's where Craig Breslow has forced us to be talking about Kevin Youkilis, Jonathan Papelbon, and Jaren Duran's political opinions, which all happen to be fairly similar.
And bad.
Yeah. And less than ideal. I just... And oh, they're baseball players. They're all Republican. They all have those views. No, I don't think they all have those views. For example, Liam Hendricks.
Yeah.
Who I said send him to Saturn. I would, his work in the community and in marginalized groups is A+. He is a fantastic guy, as far as I'm concerned. I didn't want him pitching for my baseball team anymore, but... I don't know how we got off on a political tangent here, but
yeah, it is what it is. That's what the 25 Boston Red Sox do to
that's
us.
That's politics podcast. That's another one we can throw in the mix.
Yeah, yeah.
We can become the new Cumtown.
I mean, we could switch to a different sport. I'm rocking the Julian Edelman jersey right now. I'm looking forward to Patriots season. I don't even like football, and I'm looking forward to just watching something else.
Same me, Drake May.
Yes, that I mean, we could spend as there's much so, time we, as
we can't as just ever shift on those. To a Patriots podcast. First of all, there's no train station around there for us to be entering. True.
Entering Foxborough.
Yeah. Oh no, it doesn't have the same ring.
No.
Man, I guess we have, I don't want to say we have plenty of time to sort this out, because I think we maybe only have a couple more weeks before. Honestly, I'm ready to switch topics right now, because this team is dead. That is my final thought. They have the Blue Jays coming up at Fenway Park. Who gives a fuck is pitching? And I don't care who's pitching for the Blue Jays. That's a team that's going somewhere. And the only way you're going, the only direction you're going is down, because this offense sucks. Because Craig Breslow punted on the season because he got his feelings hurt. This team is dead.
I predict the Red Sox will win 1 out of 3.
Oh, I forgot about that. Shit, hang on. I actually care about getting my prediction right. I was just a bunch of TBDs. So yeah. I got the Sox getting swept. Bayo, Giolito, Buehler. I got a sweep.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Get ready for the Walker-Buehler disaster class in the finale.
If everything holds serve for what it's on track for, Monday at Fenway Park, Garrett Crochet versus Chase Burns.
Ooh. And they're going to lose. They're going to lose 1-0.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. 1-0. I would bet Zach, get podcast guarantee, exact score, Reds 1, Red Sox 0 on Monday night at Fenway Park.
Jaron Duran's good for dropping a fly ball or misplaying something. David Hamilton's going to strike out.
Yeah, if you want a parlay, I got David Hamilton under half a hit, Jaron Duran over 1.5 strikeouts. And hammer exact it. Score, Cincinnati 1-0.
All right, I think that'll do it for episode 23 here. We'll check back again next week. It's probably going to get worse. Fair warning.
I just don't see how it doesn't at this point. Like I know this was kind of like, I don't know. I feel like this was one of our like angrier episodes that we've done, and also probably one of our more directionless episodes that we've done.
We needed it.
We're like the team, directionless. Like that's actually that's not true. I just said they had a direction; it was down.
Well, I think we're trending upwards, but it's in spite of this baseball team.
Yeah, it's just it's so frustrating to talk about, and I like I said, I want to move past the Devers thing, but it's just impossible to when you look at the stats and they're the worst offense in baseball since they traded their best player. And maybe it gets better when Alex Bregman's back. Maybe we'll have an extension to talk about. Maybe we'll have any number of things, really. But until then, it's just really tough. Like when Roman gets going, when Marcelo gets going, when Campbell's back up here, that's when I'll start. Like, I won't say like watching, because I'm going to watch every single game this weekend, and I'm going to be at every single game in the Red Series, and I'm going to be awake on July 4th at 11:05 a.m. to watch the Blues to the Washington Nationals, and so on and so forth until the last game of the season. I'm going to be sitting there just with my like drool coming out of my mouth, angry that they traded Rafael Devers. But when those guys are all up or back up and performing, that's when I'll be like, all right, we have something to watch. We have something to look forward to. We have something to build on. And until then, it's every fifth day I get to watch Garrett Crochet pitch, and that's really awesome. And aside from that, it's nothing but pain and misery.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't have said it better myself. Regardless of the state of the team, we appreciate everyone tuning in, and we'll talk to you guys again next week.
Gonna bash my head off this brick wall.